الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
صف سيدي فرمائي الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين فمن يعمل من الصالحات وهو مؤمن فلا كفران لسعيه وإنا له كاتبون وحرام على قرية أهلكناها أنهم لا يرجعون حتى إذا فتحت يأجوج ومأجوج وهم من كل حدب ينسلون واقترب الوعد الحق فإذا هي شاخصة أبصار الذين كفروا يا ويلنا قد كنا في غفلة من هذا بل كنا ظالمين إنكم وما تعبدون من دون الله حصب جهنم أنتم لها واردون لو كان هؤلاء آلهة ما وردوها وكل فيها خالدون لهم فيها زفير وهم فيها لا يسمعون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إن الذين سبقت لهم منا الحسنى أولئك عنها مبعدون لا يسمعون حسيسها وهم فيما اشتهت أنفسهم خالدون لا يحزنهم الفزع الأكبر وتتلقاهم الملائكة هذا يومكم الذي كنتم توعدون يوم نطوي السماء كطي السجل للكتب كما بدأنا أول خلق نعيده وعدا علينا إنا كنا فاعلين ولقد كتبنا في الزبور من بعد الذكر أن الأرض يرثها عبادي الصالحون إن في هذا لبلاغا لقوم عابدين وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل برحمتك يا Thank you.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لم يكن الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب والمشركين منفكين حتى تأتيهم البينة رسول من الله يتلو صحفا مطهرة فيها كتب قيمة وما تفرق الذين أوتوا الكتاب إلا من بعد ما جاءتهم البينة صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon my most beloved master Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again reminding ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam upon us, that today we have the honor of sitting in the masjid and listening to the teachings of the Holy Quran. Previously, we discussed the situation of the people in the world prior to the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam to this world. And so we mentioned that bearing in mind the severity of the situation of the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to send a spiritual healer that was the best of the best. And this was none other than Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hiya az al-bayyina hatta ta'tiyahum al-bayyina, that the disbelievers and the people of the book were not going to stop what they were doing, i.e. sinning, until a clear proof came to them. Now why was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described as a clear proof? This we will explain and discuss in the next verse, inshallah. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Rasulun min Allah. Who was this clear proof? He was Rasulun min Allah. He was the prophet from Allah. Yatlu suhufan mutahhara. Who was reciting the pure scrolls, the pure scriptures. Now this word, tala yatlu, means it's a very specific form of reading. And this reading is when the recitation is exactly word to word as what is written. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite the Holy Quran just as Jibreel alayhi salam would bring it to him, without any mistakes. There was no such thing as paraphrasing here. It wasn't that, oh, he said something along the lines. No, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite the Quran to the Sahaba exactly as it had been revealed by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was a question could arise, that yatlu suhufa mutahhara means who was reciting the pure scrolls. However, this does not mean that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was reading from papers or a book. No, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was reading from his heart. It was, the Quran was revealed. عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنْذِرِينَ. That, وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ. That the Quran was revealed upon the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would then recite from his heart, not from any scriptures. Later on, it was written down onto various scriptures, and then later at the time of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, and the Quran was compiled and gathered into one book. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Holy Quran as suhufan mutahara, pure scrolls, pure in the spiritual sense and in the academic sense. In the sense that, firstly, it was pure, meaning that it had come directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the academic sense, that there was no mistakes. It was free from any sort of mistakes. It was also free from shirk, from polytheism, and any sort of spiritual impurity. It was free from corruption, in the sense that the previous books before that had been contaminated and corrupted by the people, whereas the Quran is free from this sort of contamination and corruption. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further describes the Holy Quran. Fiha kutubun qayyima, in which there are sound injunctions. Kutub in Arabic is the plural of kitab, and it normally means books. However, the word can also have the meaning of rulings. And in this context, it means that there are sound injunctions. What does sound injunction mean? The scholars have many different interpretations. Some scholars have said that it means that the rulings have no mistakes. Others have said that the rulings are full of adl, they are full of justice, and they are solid, and they will continue until the day of Qiyamah. These rulings will not stop like the previous religions. Their time was limited. Another religion was going to come to replace their religion. However, with Islam, with the Quran, it was to be irreplaceable and to be till the day of Qiyamah. No other Nabi will come now. No other Quran will come now. No other book will come now. No other nation will come now. We are the final book. We are the final religion. We are the final nation. And this Islam will stay till the day of Qiyamah. There's no other book to come after this. So this one interpretation that the scholars have taken of Qutubun Qayyimah is this, that the Quran will stay till the day of Qiyamah. And now for the main part of the session is this verse. وَمَا تَفَرَّقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ. The people of the book did not split up, they did not separate. إِلَّا مِن بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةِ, except after a sound proof had come to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees this in wonder. Now normally what happens is a nation, they are full of different ideas, they are full of different groups. And then, you know, a Nabi will come to them and guide them all. And then they'll become one. Just like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did to the many parts of the Quraysh. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina, the Aus and Khazraj, they were warring for years and years. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he guided them and he united them with Islam. And they became brothers. And they became such brothers that they would die for each other. They would love each other and die for each other for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says with regard to the people of the book that we have opposites here. Now on one side we had the non-Jewish tribes in Makkah and Medina. And before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, they were all over the place. They were fighting with each other. They had wars with each other. And on the other side we had the Ahli Kitab. Before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, they were all one. They were all one, and they used to fight with the Arab people. It was such a situation that they would fight against. They were together as one, but they would fight with everybody else. And after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, then the Arab tribes, they all came into Islam, or those who came into Islam, they stayed as one. Whereas the Ahli Kitab, they split up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this is a phrase of wonder that, ajib, but you know, before they were together, afterwards they split up. Now to understand the context of this, we have to go back many, many, many years. And we go back to the time of Hazrat Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. And as we know, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam had two wives, the first of which was Hazrat Sarah alayhi salam, and the second of which was Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam. Now, initially, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was married to Hazrat Sarah alayhi salam, and they did not have any children. One day they were traveling, it's a long hadith, and they came by this king who was a tyrant, and he had a habit of abducting women. But he had one habit, that if a woman was traveling with her brother, he would not abduct that woman. And so it's a long story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Hazrat Sarah alayhi salam from the king, and in the end he gave Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam a slave girl as a gift to Hazrat Sarah alayhi salam. Hazrat Sarah alayhi salam in turn said to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam that marry her as your second wife. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam married Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam, and soon Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam became expecting, and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam was born. Soon after seeing this, naturally you can imagine, you know, the psychological struggles that couples go through when they are struggling to have children. And you can imagine Hazrat Sarah alayhi salam, she was happy, but she was also extremely wanting of a child herself. And then what happens is, later Hazrat Sarah alayhi salam also becomes expecting, and Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam is born. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, take Hajar alayhi salam and take Ismail alayhi salam, and take them to the middle of the Arabian desert. This was later to become Makkatul Mukarramah. At this time it was nothing, it was just desert. There was nothing there, no water, no trees, no nothing, no people, nothing. Kuchni. And so Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, you know this famous story, he leaves Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam in the desert, and he goes back and he stays with Hazrat Sarah alayhi salam and Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam. Now, later on, both of these sons become prophets. Ibrahim alayhi salam is the father, and the two sons, Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam has a son called Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, who also became a prophet. And Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam then has 12 sons, one of which is Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. This itself is a golden generation. Normally, what happens is a Nabi can be a son of a Nabi, but then it stops there. Like Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam, Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam. It stops. Yeah? But here, Rasulullah mentions in one hadith that what an amazing family. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam is a Nabi. His father, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, is a Nabi. His grandfather, Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam, is a Nabi. And his great-grandfather, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, is one of the greatest Nabis. Subhanallah. So anyway, what happens is Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam is a prophet, and he has 11 brothers, so the 12 sons of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam. And another name for Yaqub alayhi salam is Israel. Israel is another name for Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam. And so what happens is Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam and his 11 brothers become known as the children of Israel, Banu Israel. So Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam and his 11 brothers, so the 12 sons of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, they go on to have 12 families, which later on becomes 12 whole tribes. And this whole, all of these 12 tribes become known as the Banu Israel. When we go to look at the story of Musa alayhi salam, he is traveling with the 12 tribes of Banu Israel. When they get to the Red Sea, it splits up into 12 paths, one each for each of the tribes. When they needed water, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Musa alayhi salam to strike his staff on the stone. 12 streams, ithna وَإِذِ اسْتَسْقَى مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ فَقُلْنَا اضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْحَجَرَ فَانْفَجَرَتْ مِنْهُ اثْنَتَا عَشْرَةَ عَيْنًا. 12 streams come out. Why? One stream each for each of the 12 tribes of Banu Israel. And it's from the Banu Israel that every single Nabi came, from Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam all the way to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam, Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Dawood alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, all of the prophets that we know, all of every single one of them came from the family of Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam. And in parallel, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam's family, he marries into the Jurhum tribe, and that carries on, and not a single Nabi comes from this side of the family. All of the Nabis come from the family of Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam. And each prophet that came, they came with the news of one final great prophet that was going to come. And in their books, there was descriptions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, physical descriptions. There was descriptions about his character. There was descriptions of Madinatul Munawwara. And so every single family, every single nation, they would teach their children, a great prophet is going to come, a great prophet is going to come, a great prophet is going to come. Every Nabi would tell his people about this great prophet that was going to come. So the event is building up. He says that, you know, the famous prophet says, agar tu na hote ta kuch bhi na hota. Yeah? They say that the whole entire universe was created for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's the greatest event that's going to occur in the history of humanity. There's no other event that is greater than the advent and the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you can imagine that it's not an event that's been building up for weeks and months. It's an event that's been building up for centuries and centuries. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was aware of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He asked forgiveness using the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all them years ago at the beginning of humanity. He asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness using the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh Adam, how do you know this name? He said, ya Allah, when you created me, I looked up at your arsh, I saw your name written there. And I knew that this was the greatest person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained to Adam alayhi salam, oh Adam, if it wasn't going to be for him, you would have been created. So you can imagine the magnanimity of this event that is going to occur. And every single prophet is telling the people about the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it in the Quran. وَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam said to his people, O Banu Israel, I am Allah's prophet towards you. مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ مِنَ التَّوْرَاةِ وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولِ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدِ. He says that I am giving you glad tidings about a prophet that is going to come after me. His name is Ahmad. Yeah, Ahmad is one of the names of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he told his people about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the previous books, in the Torah, in the Injil, in the Zabur, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam descriptions were there. So you can imagine as the time goes on, the Banu Israel, the people, the Jews, it's building up the event to a time when one of the ancestors of the Jews, he found Madinatul Munawwara. And he finds the description in the old books and he matches it. That this is the place, this is Yathrib. He moves there and he's waiting for hundreds of years before Rasulullah actually came to Medina. He's moved to Medina to Munawwar and he's waiting. He's about to die. The Prophet has not yet come. He tells his children that a Prophet is going to come to this place. Wait for him. They grow old. The Prophet hasn't come yet. They tell their children, a Prophet is going to come. And every nation is telling each other about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every single nation is telling each other about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, it's an event that has been building up for so many years. Finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes. And there are a few incidents that I want to mention that puts this into perspective. The first incident that I'd like to mention is the story of Hazrat Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala. It's a very beautiful story. It's an amazing story. But the part that I just want to take out, the last part of the story. Now just to summarize the initial parts of the Hazrat Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, he was a person from Persia and he was an individual who came from Persia, so predominantly fire worshippers. But he understood that this is not the correct way of life. He went on a hunt and a mission for the truth. He was thrown out by his parents, and then he went from one rabbi to another rabbi to another priest to another priest, and then he would learn from them the old books, the old scriptures, and then they would pass away. Then he would go to another one. Then they would turn out to be a fraud. Then he would go to another one, all in the search of the truth. And throughout his time, he had, because he had been to so many rabbis and scholars and priests, he had learnt all of the old books. And he had discovered every single one of these priests, they all seemed to indicate towards the final prophet, that a final prophet is going to come. If you get to him, you've got the truth. If you get to him, you've got the truth. And so this was Hazrat Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala and his mission. Since a time came when a caravan was going towards Arabia, and he knew that they were going to go, so he gave the leader of the caravan some money. He said, can you reach me to this place? He said, yeah, no problem. He takes his money off him and then travel with him. Later, the leader of the caravan, he did him over basically, and he sold him to a Jew. Now he was in the slavery of a Jew, and this Jew then sold Hazrat Salman al-Farsi to his cousin, and his cousin was living in Madinatul Munawwara. Now Hazrat Salman al-Farsi has arrived in Madinatul Munawwara. He has seen Madinatul Munawwara. He has seen that in the old books it was described as a place that surrounded by black stones, in which in between there are palm trees. Yeah, and when you go to Madinatul Munawwara, as you are arriving, you'll find if you look at the mountains, they are of dark color, and Madinatul Munawwara is a place that has palm trees. So when Hazrat Salman al-Farsi arrives, he recognizes Madinatul Munawwara. He knows that it's happening. It's here. I'm here. But he was in slavery, and then what happens is one day he's working in the garden, the date garden, and his master, the Jew, a friend or family member of his, comes and he says that, have you heard? The Arabs, they are saying that the Prophet has come. And then Hazrat Salman al-Farsi, he says that immediately his ears pricked up, and he says that, I got so excited, I nearly fell out the tree. So he goes, he came out, and he goes, what did you say? So the master said to him that, you know, hey, what's it got to do with you? Get out, you carry on working it. He goes, okay, fine. So this is the account from Hazrat Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu. I think I might only have time for this account. I had a few other accounts, inshallah, we can carry on next week. But Hazrat Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, who says that he goes, this is the point where he goes and he visits Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after years and years and years of traveling and searching for the truth, he says, وَقَدْ كَانَ عِنْدِي شَيْءٌ قَدْ جَمَعْتُهُ. He says that I had some items that I had collected. فَلَمَّا أَمْسَيْتُ أَخَذْتُهُ ثُمَّ ذَهَبْتُ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. In the evening after I had finished, he goes, I got these things together, and I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَهُوَ بِقُبَاء. And he was at Quba, where Masjid Quba is. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there. فَدَخَلْتُ عَلَيْهِ فَقُلْتُ لَهُ أَنَّهُ قَدْ بَلَغَنِي أَنَّكَ رَجُلٌ صَالِحٌ وَمَعْكَ أَصْحَابٌ لَكَ غُرَبَاءٌ. He said, I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I went to him and I said to him that I have heard that you are a pious person and you have some poor companions with you as well, ذو حاجة who are in need. وهذا شيء كان عندي للصدقة فرأيتكم أحق به من غيركم. He says, I have some items with me here. They are of sadaqah. Now, in the previous books, it had been narrated about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Three signs that Hazrat Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala was looking for. The first sign was that the final Nabi will not eat from sadaqah. So he purposely says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is charity, and I can see that you are in need, you are poor, your companions are poor, so I've bought it for you.
قَالَ فَقَرَبْتُهُ إِلَيْهِ فَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ لِأَصْحَابِهِ كُلُوا وَمْسَكَ يَدَهُ.
He says that I put the items of sadaqah close to him,
and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the sahaba, eat.
And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved his hands away, وَلَا يَأْكُلْ.
And he did not, فَلَمْ يَأْكُلْ, and he did not eat. قَالَ فَكُلْتُ فِي نَفْسِهِ هَذِهِ وَاحِدَةٌ.
Hadha Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, who says that I said in my heart that this is one sign. Yeah, he was looking for three signs. He said, هَذِهِ وَاحِدَةٌ,
this is one sign. ثم انصرفت وجمعت شيئا وتحول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى المدينة.
He said, I went away and I got some other things, some other items together. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, by that time he had moved away from Quba and he had gone to Madinatul Munawwara.
ثم جئت به فقلت فقلت رأيتك لا تأكل الصدقة.
He said, I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam again, and I said to him that I see that you do not eat from sadaqah.
وهذه هدية أكرمتك بها.
This is a gift that I wish to honor you with.
قال فأكل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم منها وأمر أصحابه فأكلوا معه. قال فقلت في نفسه هاتان اثنتان.
He said Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم eat from it, and he commanded the Sahaba, and they also eat from it. هذا سلمان الفارسي رضي الله تعالى عنه says that I said in my heart هاتان اثنتان. This is two signs now that are correct.
قال وقد تبع جنازة من أصحابه عليه الصلاة من أصحابه عليه من أصحابه عليه شملتان له وهو جالس وهو جالس في أصحابه فسلمت عليه ثم استدرت أنظر إلى ظهره.
He says that Rasulullah at this point Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وهو في بقيء الغرقد. He was in Jannat al-Baqi. And he was at the funeral of one of the Sahaba. And upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was two cloaks.
ثم استدرت أنظر إلى ظهره.
He said, I stood up and I started walking around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looking towards his back. Because he was now looking for the third sign. And the third sign was the khatam, the seal of prophethood, which was below the middle of the shoulder, between the two shoulders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, below the neck.
He said that I started, I moved around and I was looking towards his back. هل أرى الخاتم الذي وصف لي صاحبي؟
Can I see the seal that my people have described to me?
فلما رآني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أستدرت عرف أني استبدت في شيء وصف لي أستثبت في شيء وصف لي.
He said that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw me circling him, he said he understood that I was trying to establish something that had been described to me.
قال فألقى رداءه عن ظهره فنظرت إلى الخاتم.
He says that as soon as Rasulullah realized what I was looking for, he said he lowered the garment and he said that فنظرت الخاتم. I saw the seal of prophethood.
فعرفته فأبكيت عليه أقبله وأبكي.
He said, I immediately recognized the khatam. And he said, I went and I fell in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I began to kiss him and I began to cry.
فقال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تحول فتحولت فقصصت عليه قصتي.
He says that imagine such a moment for Hazrat Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala an, after such a long journey of, you know, so much difficulty that he's gone through on this journey for truth, he's finally found it, such a moment for him. He says that immediately I threw myself down in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That I'm crying, I'm kissing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam says, look towards me. He says, tell me, what's your story? He says that I told my story to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so, you know, impressed with my story that he went and he wanted to tell all the Sahaba that such an amazing story. Look at his long journey for the truth. And finally, he's here. And then Hazrat Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu's story continues where, you know, Rasulullah helps him become free. And then later on, the Battle of Khandaq, etc. But what I wanted to establish from this is three things that we learn from this story that were taught to the people of the book. And that were taught, Hazrat Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala learned from the people of the book, these three things. This is evidence that these were the descriptions, these were the kind of descriptions that were found in the previous books. These were the kind of descriptions that were in front of the Jewish tribes. Yeah? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. Inshallah, I'm going to continue with this topic. There's the account of Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala that I very much want to explain and go through as well. And also the story of Huyay bin Akhtab that I want to go through as well. Just some examples that really explains the verse, وَمَا تَفَرَّقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ. And then inshallah, we will continue with this next week and then finish the surah maybe the week after. Inshallah, as time has run out now. I would have very much liked to carry on, but time is tight. Inshallah, we will continue next week. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.